So this is work with Björn Döbel, my PhD student, who should be here, but he cannot. So he's no visa problems. He's not sick. It's much worse. He has another paper. At the same day, different conference, different continent, different content, but related, very much related to what is here. So, who watches the Watchmen? There are two starting pieces for that work. One is splitting systems. So quite a few teams, including my own, attempt to minimize the critical parts of systems. So in real time, this has been done since ages. And the way it works is that some legacy system cooperates with the critical components, and then they are separated by, for example, a microkernel. And in this example, this is not for real time, but for security properties. In this example, we have a bank application that just needs a small presentation tool, a small file system, and for everything that is not needed for this particular, for everything that is not critical for this application, Linux can be reused. That is running on a virtual machine besides the critical core. That works quite nicely. And what we have to do is to select what is critical and to somehow protect what is critical. In real time, this means we have to do small critical sections, short locks. In security, that means we have to minimize the trusted computing base for this particular application and to check it, to validate, or even to formally verify it. And the question addressed here is, can we do the same thing for resilience? So can we identify a small piece of software, a small core of software that needs to be worked, that needs to be resilient, and everything else doesn't need to be resilient, and it is organized in a way by the resilient core so that the whole system works properly. So the other starting point is the observation that computers, hardware is getting more and more heterogeneous. And we make the assumption for this talk, and this is one point where we can nicely discuss, where I will ask you to comment on whether or not the assumption is good, is reasonable. We make the assumption that we have heterogeneous cores with regard to resilience, so that there is one or several, a few cores that are really protected somehow using larger structures or whatever means, and lots of non-resilient cores. And then we can combine, we can try to combine these two starting points, the resilient software core with something like that. So the questions are, what should be in that resilient software core? And how do we use that kind of heterogeneous hardware for that? So the resilient software core that we are looking into, and that's Björn's paper that is presented in 18 hours in Finland, is what we refer to as a reliable computing base. And it contains some basic functionality like the microkernel, and some runtime, and then essentially a replication manager. So everything that is running in the system is replicated, maybe not everything, depending on the importance, and there are various things that can be replicated, maybe applications, but potentially also something like drivers, and potentially also something like an operating system, like the Linux kernel at the end. And the only part of the system that must work is this down here. So in a little bit more detail, this component here looks like that. So there are some replica that run in their own address spaces, so they are protected from each other, and we have this replication manager. Whenever these replicas externalize events like system calls. They communicate with this component. The outcomes are compared, so the replicator waits for these externalization events, compares, and if they are identical, it externalizes the system call, and otherwise it identifies, well, it applies some method, some approach. For example, in this case, it would identify the replica that is wrong and replace it by a completely new replica from a copy of the other ones. There needs to be done more. The whole management, etc., is part of this component. So we need a memory manager and some other functionality. So this is the component, and then we can combine these two starting points by running this component, the reliable computing base, on a resilient core and everything else on non-resilient cores. And then the idea is to have systems with a potentially very large number of non-resilient cores, some cores, we don't know how many, that organize all the replicates. And just these cores must work for the whole system to work. Then we had to check these things out in an initial way. We did some experiments using not heterogeneous but very homogeneous software, and we tried out several ways how to do this signal or this components. And this is not especially exciting, and I'm going through them with a few slides. So one has been thread migration, synchronous communication, something like RPC, and shared memory. So thread migration is pretty simple. So we have a shared memory, we assume a shared memory system here. The there are run queues for each core, and we simply move the replicate threads to another run queue. Then an IPI started here. Then the replicates will, on this side, we wait until all threads have moved. Then decide something and migrate back. So pretty straightforward. Next method is to use something like RPC. So we have a handler thread here that is waiting. Then a notification comes, IPI, synchronous IPC in L4 speak. The handler waits for all replicates to have sent a message, and then decides and reactivates the replicates. The third method is just use polling. So the resilient core has a handler that is polling shared memory. Once replicates do system calls, they write to the shared memory. The handler decides. Then it writes back to shared memory locations. The replicates poll, and then everything proceeds. So three pretty straightforward ways to do that. Now, we did some initial evaluation. So that's the character of this work, that it is very much, as Nurec said, pretty much ongoing. We used the popular MyBench, used two of these applications, the two that are most critical in terms of overhead, as tested in the work that is presented tomorrow in Finland. Used a test machine that is not heterogeneous at all, so 12 Core i7 CPUs. Replicas are pinned to cores, so it's maximum efficiency here. Hyperthreading is off, and we tested double modular and triple modular redundancy, and these are the outcomes. So this graph shows overhead in relation to the non-replicated core. And we have double modular redundancy and triple modular redundancy. So the best performing, obviously, is this shared memory, polling, and so this has overhead of about 7-8% in comparison to the non-replicated part. So overhead here is time. It's not number of cycles burned, but time. The worst is based on synchronous IPC, which is not a big surprise because at the architecture used, we need IPIs, interprocessor interrupts for notification, and that is pretty expensive. And this essentially shows us the pros and cons of the various methods. So the polling method and the migration method both have rely on shared memory, and that's always critical because shared memory can be spoiled by bad replicates potentially. So we need some kind of separation to make sure that doesn't happen. Synchronous IPC is best in terms of isolation, but worse in terms of performance. So on the way to trying to organize systems in the way I mentioned at the very beginning, so a small core that must work, for example, based on heterogeneous hardware, and lots of cores that can be unreliable and that are organized by that core. We have done initial tests with that I just presented. Application replication, including a detailed study of potential errors in the transmission, are currently done. These are the next steps that Björn will have to do. The next obvious thing is to try to take multi-threaded applications for replication. Then, ideally, we would be able to even replicate drivers or even an operating system like Linux. Then we have to find out whether or not that scales at all. And another topic is missing here. So for trusted computing bases, the term of size is pretty obvious. Could be number of lines of codes or other complexity measures. What is size? What is minimality in terms of resilience? That's not quite that easy. So this is these are the key points for this work, and I just stop and leave it to you to continue. Okay, good question. Yes, this is based, these experiments are based on single MN upsets, so bit flips, essentially. Why wouldn't we use hardware like Tandem did since ages? So the reason, there are two reasons. One is we want to try out that kind of things, which is obvious. The other is if we do that in software, we have much larger flexibility. We can combine different methods of replication with other things like checkpointing. And to do that in hardware is much more difficult. And exploring the design space for that is what we are trying to do here. The outcome can well be find something very simple in hardware, one very simple but still flexibly usable hardware replication support. But that has been done, and maybe we can get much further with software, much more flexible things. But the point is very valid. Yeah. Well, for this work, we simply assume it's just single event upsets. But when we discuss the kind of things, we are considering different things as well. For example, we need to make, well, another thing that we need to consider is that nodes can be crashed by some kind of errors. So neighboring nodes can be crashed by, yeah. So timing error should be covered by that, by just letting the replicator wait for the next for all replicas to come in, and having a watchdog that if one is late, we just consider it a fault and restart that one replicate. We are considering timing errors, we also consider. But we don't know what kind of errors we have to expect with that kind of architectures. And I don't even know if the assumption, and that would be my question to you, that we have heterogeneity with regard to resilience is a valid one. One of the reviewers wrote correctly, this is very, very vague what we are writing there. So can we assume this kind of heterogeneity? And I just give the question back to you. What other kind of error should we consider in that kind of architecture? So the floor is yours. Well, I believe we can handle timing errors at that level. We can compare. We make an assumption that the only type of errors that are interesting is errors that externalize. And based on that model, we simply can compare the outcomes. And we don't care what kind of errors led to these things.
Why don't you just have like a voter, hardware voter on the chip that compares the output of the non-resilient cores?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's. Yeah. So that's a variant of Stevens' question. Doing this in software gives you much more flexibility, and we can even omit checking at all by just letting one single replica fly. So we didn't do the experiments for multithreading yet. They are next on the list, but the assumptions that we will make is that all multi-threaded applications will be bound to a library that we can influence, and that the applications are well synchronized. So if shared memory variables are accessed, we assume that there are locks, and then we can use the replicator to sequentialize execution and to make it deterministic. There's quite some work, previous work, related work, that we can use to make multi-threaded applications deterministic. So the approach is we will make them deterministic. Yeah, there's been a paper at Qashqai's last year, I think what's called Determinator or something, that does it without, even without.
They impose a new programming model on the application.
But to put a large story short, we will assume that multi-threaded applications are deterministic, and we make sure that they are. Otherwise, it's much more difficult.